Hey, Quang here. If you really wanted to support Cracked Media, you can go to cracked-media.com/shop and buy our merch. The website will be updated with limited time merch that supports all the effort that everyone on the Cracked Media crew has and will continue to dedicate to the community. Go visit cracked-media.com/shop. And remember, stay cracked.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, chickens, cats, dogs, lions, welcome to XP Share episode Sam Deuce. Sam Deuce. My name is Juice Wayne. Yep. Been here before about 72 times before. We have Mr. CJ with us. CJ, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I'm chilling. Mm-hmm. I'm chilling. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Excellent. Love to hear that. Mr. Quang.
Hey,
Mr.
Yo.
Chef.
Yeah.
The chef is with us today.
Yeah, I set a fire in Justin's apartment. That's why he's not here.
Ah, okay. What were you cooking?
Fire.
Yes, I was cooking a lovely fire. Medium rare. Medium rare fire, please.
Yes. Yeah. Pink
in the center.
Exactly. So J-Dog will be back, currently handling some situation. It sounds like my mixtape is going off in his house. So he's going to handle that. And whenever he's done, he will join us. But it's okay. The show goes on nonetheless.
Happy Mother's Day for all of our
Mothers. Yeah.
Recording on May 10th. 2026.
Indeed.
I hung out with my mama. Day. If you haven't called your moms, that's your business. It's not mine.
I would, but she's asleep right now. And also, Mother's Day was 2 months ago.
Oh, wow. Your Mother's Day is in March?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when's Father's Day?
Can't remember because I haven't celebrated it in years.
Jesus Christ.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Damn. Really just bringing in the trauma. Talk about experience share, you know?
I have not celebrated Father's Day since 2018.
Actually, it's super funny that I actually got it. So I went to the gym this morning because I completely forgot, right? I leave the gym. I get a text from my brother-in-law. He's like, hey, are you going to be here soon?
You forgot.
And I wish I forgot. No one told me anything. Normally, I'm pretty good about following up with people, being like, hey, this thing's coming up. Are we doing anything? Just to make sure. Because, you know, my brother-in-law usually actually like gets a reservation or something, right? And since nothing was mentioned, normally I check in. I'm pretty good about that. I didn't do that because I didn't realize it was Mother's Day coming up. Just didn't think about it. I get a text and I'm like, oh shit. That's when I texted the group. I was like, today's Mother's Day. I might not be here. I book it to the restaurant. Got there 20 minutes. They put in food for me. It was great. That ended up being a good time.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. My mom, she lives in another state. So I just, you know, the usual, hey, mom, love you, call. And I showed her what mom. I made for breakfast. That's pretty much it.
You could have been having this, but you ain't.
Yeah, I mean, we like to do this. She loves to send me pictures of what she cooked, and I'll just do the same. You know how parents are with their kids. Like, my kid's cooking now. No more McDonald's.
Yeah. I did get a Wendy's salad for lunch before I realized that I had to be somewhere.
My God.
Nice. Well, you show up so full.
We did celebrate my brother's birthday this weekend, so that was nice. So I had my own little celebration, and
Mr. Brother.
I got him a necklace with our past grandfather's name on it in Morse code, and it went down very well.
I like
to do the sentimental, like sappy, gooey shit. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Justin's gone for 5 minutes and we're so wholesome on this.
Yeah. Last year I got him a fucking grilled cheese maker. So
honestly, nice. Depending on the person, can also be a great gift.
Well, no, it, because his broke, and so I was like, well, I know what I'm getting you then. I'll get you a new one. And the year before that, I got him a tattoo. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Well, always good to catch up. You know, last time or our last episode, we talked about GTA 6 and you know, everything that comes along with its launch and news around it. Don't forget that that quarterly meeting is happening on the 21st, right? It's the 21st. So hopefully there's some sort of new release or video, something regarding that coming up. But looking at the games that are coming out this year, open world games are going crazy right now. And so I wanted to kind of stay on the topic of open world games and see our thoughts, our feelings, because as of right now, especially in our age, open world games is kind of like the angle that we start going to. You know, you get older, you're like, all right, PvP is cool, but I want some substance. So I just want to talk about a few open world games that are coming out this year. Well, ideally this year, some may not, but so we already know about GTA 6, all right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's like most anticipated game of all time, whatever. There's a game called Stranger Than Heaven. It's going to be a PlayStation exclusive coming out. This game is going to be like, basically it's like two Asian guys who live in America, who leave America and go back to Japan and get into like a world of crime. And so it's kind of like their rise to fame or whatever you want to call it. Going back home should be pretty interesting. The trailer shows that Snoop Dogg is going to be in the game. He has his own character, and his son is also in the game as well.
Okay.
Yeah, like Tori Kelly, a great R&B singer, is also going to be in it. They're trying to make it like feel like a real like basically a movie. So definitely check that out if you haven't seen the trailer for it. It's really powerful. The game that I'm looking forward to. Pretty like, oh, well, I'd say, I mean, GTA is definitely higher, but I'm like, the game that's real close, Fable. Really, really, really excited about Fable.
I'm hopeful for Fable, yeah.
Man.
It's a remake, isn't it?
No.
No, it's a new game.
They are, yeah, yeah. I think they're starting the story over, but the way that they're like expanding on, I guess, just the open world like aspect and being able to... Granted, I didn't play the old Fable, so it could very well be like the same thing, just more expensive. But J-Dog was a massive Fable fan back in the day. He always talked about it. I never really played it, right?
Is it still spearheaded by the megalomaniac? What's his name?
Peter? I don't think Peter Molyneux has got anything to do with it, no.
Oh, sad.
Yeah.
I love how you knew exactly who I was talking about.
Yeah, exactly. he's a very famous game developer, and he's also like a bit of a fucking
he's a textbook narcissist.
Yeah. But also like I am slightly concerned that because of that, Fable won't be as offensively British as it was, because those games were offensively British and it was great.
Yeah, well, I might have to just do some homework, because I'm not really too familiar with the old Fables. Maybe it's worth going back and playing them. I don't know, but I've watched the trailer for this one.
Peter Molyneux. Montague's from Montague? Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's Shakespeare.
The story of Peter Molyneux and Capulet
has famously said that Fable is the best video game ever made and will ever be made. Because he loves video games and he thinks every other video game sucks.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, if he didn't make it, he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like he hasn't had a little game called Bully. I will bring it up every episode.
Yeah, big old cards. I mean, listen, after what I saw on that trailer of the features in this upcoming Fable, I'm, as someone who's never played it before, I'm excited. I'm really excited. You can own homes, either live in them or rent them out to other people. You can like start a family. Like this, every decision you make has some sort of ripple, either somewhere down the line. This game is going to be expansive as hell. So I'm very excited about Fable.
See, what and you're up to, since this is all stuff that that you can do in the older games as well. So I think you can pick up Fable 1, like the remastered version of Fable 1 on Steam. I think it's the only one available on Steam, but it's definitely worth looking into. It's got a lot of that stuff in it. So yeah, you'll enjoy.
That's impressive. I mean, yeah, I'm gonna have to do it then. Wait, is it on Game Pass?
It was. I don't know if it is anymore, but I know it definitely was on Game Pass.
I'll check it out then.
I wonder if they've got the big mechanic that they were selling Fable 3 on. This is genuinely one of like the major things that they were selling the game on, is you can hold hands with the NPCs. I wonder if you can hold hands with the NPCs.
I'm sure you could probably do a whole lot more than that in this upcoming Fable.
If I can fart in the faces of children, we'll be so back.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so I'm excited about that. There's also Divinity, which I don't know about you guys. One of, if not the coolest video game trailer I've ever seen in my life. And when I say cool, I really mean like disgusting and like gruesome, but cool at the same time. I don't think I've ever seen a trailer and thought, I need to play this shit right now. Like more like Divinity really, really, really captured my attention.
Have you played any of the other Divinity games?
I have not. I've seen them played before. I am familiar with them, but I've never actually played them before.
Original Sin might be one of my favorite games of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if I actually played Original Sin 2, if I watched other people play it, but Original Sin was fucking, what a mind-boggling experience.
Yeah.
Gave me nightmares.
I can only imagine.
But
I can only imagine.
I said it once, I'll say it again. I'm a bitch. So like horror themes will ruin me for ever. So I will probably not play it. My one thing with Divinity is the way that they talked about it at the Game Awards was they're saying that it was going to be bigger than Baldur's Gate 3. And that was kind of a turnoff for me, though. I'm like, I know exactly three people who have beaten all of Baldur's Gate 3. Exactly three. I know a lot of people that have gotten through the first act, part of the second act, stop playing for a while and be like, I'm going to start over from the beginning. Which is fine. Mm-hmm. But if people are not going to go through the whole story, what's the point? Like, it doesn't need to be that big.
Yeah,
is my point.
Well, I feel like this is sort of the beginning of the wider conversation we're going to have today. Yeah. The thing where I am kind of okay with them going bigger than Baldur's Gate is because this is what Baldur's Gate 3 is what Larian can do with a really good budget with somebody else's IP. Because realistically, you know, so now they have the budget of Baldur's Gate 3 with their own IP, with their own creative direction. They don't need to worry about, we can't do this because this god wouldn't actually do. Because that's like something that's popped up on my feed a lot recently, and it's kind of been pissing me off, is you get a lot of actually players of Baldur's Gate. It's like, actually in the lore. It's this, that, and like, look.
Let's be real. Let's go.
No,
people up actually at the fucking D&D table. In Baldur's Gate, I can do this. And
yeah, but the different, don't get me wrong, I fucking love TTRPGs. I think they are the best form of entertainment because you, whether you're a player or you're a game master, there's just so much that happens at the table that is wonderful. But there's a reason why all the games that I run are based in homebrew. It's because fuck you, I make the rules. I don't care if that's how it would actually be. In my world, this is how force fields work. Fuck you.
I will say, unfortunately, also just because of the target audience, people are still gonna actually the shit out of Divinity. They'll be like, actually, I played the other five games, and that's not how the main character would act.
Yeah, well, you know what? Times change, and so must we all.
But no, I mean, I'm excited. To be clear, it looks great, and
It looks amazing. Look like a lot of fun.
I just don't know if I would personally play it, because if it's bigger than Baldur's Gate 3, and Baldur's Gate 3, I only got through the first act and then decided that I wanted to make different decisions, and then realized that I skipped a whole town because the game's too big.
Did you skip the Grove?
Yeah.
No, I didn't skip the... You can't skip the Grove.
Wait, no, you can. You absolutely can.
Can you? I didn't.
Yeah.
I skipped the whole... So I skipped the church and... So I never found Giselle. I never found the tiefling girl.
Kalak.
And there's a lot of references.
Giselle? Do you mean Lazel?
Yeah, whatever.
What the?
I'm bad with names. You know this, RJ.
What the fuck? Fuck you! Fuck you and your power! Fuck you and your Power Rangers Jungle Fury reference.
Wait, okay. So real quick, I see there's Divinity Original Sin 2 on Steam right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I should be buying?
I think the Divinity series doesn't. It's kind of like the Lost Scrolls, I'm pretty sure, where you don't actually have to play any specific one.
Oh, really?
There is references to the... It's kind of like Baldur's Gate 2. Like, you don't have to play Baldur's Gate 2 to play Baldur's Gate 3. There's a lot of, like, world building, and it gives you a lot of... There's a lot of context that you might miss out on if you don't. But I know a lot of people would recommend Original Sin 2. Graphics might be a little...
The reviews are overwhelmingly positive. That's insane. Yeah.
Okay. It might be a little outdated graphics wise, depending on how much that matters to you, because it came out in 2017.
Yeah, so it's not a big deal.
But
yeah,
especially if you're trying to have like the GTA 5 style graphics or like level of graphics, it's not going to be that. Unfortunately.
Yeah, for sure. I figured that much. Okay, I mean, you know what I'm saying? We might check it out.
Mm-hmm. Original Sin 2 is also a long game, if I remember correctly.
I mean,
these type of RPGs will tend to be, because there's so much story to tell.
Yeah,
you know, and again, they are no longer shackled by Wizards of the Coast. So,
yeah. Original Sin 2, according to howlongtobeat.com, main story is about 60 hours. If you do side quests as well, can be up to 100 hours. So for most people, it's an average 100 hour gameplay.
That's way less than I was expecting to hear. I'm thinking like 400 hours or something insane. So, okay.
This is also Divinity. The Divinity series has historically been underfunded.
Gotcha.
Not anymore.
So.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm interested in like what happens. I'm for sure excited for it to come out. I just don't think that I will be the one playing it. Unless, you know, something lucrative comes around where I don't have to work anymore, at least like a day job.
I mean, you could become a Divinity Sin creator and like commit your fucking life to it.
No, I think
we're gonna get that OnlyFans popping.
Yeah.
That's what we're gonna do.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's what the Evo trip's for.
Honestly, another game. I know it's a remake. I know it's a remake, but I'm going to throw it out there as well because they are adding new content. I'm so excited for Black Flag Resynced. Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. Oh, I want to go back. Oh, it's going to look so pretty. It's going to look so nice.
Yeah, I mean, I put that up there with games like Spider-Man, like the new generation Spider-Mans, where, you know, there are times where I do want to do a mission and I want to kind of progress the story, but there are times where I just want to just explore. I mean, Black Flag, being on the ship, just riding, you know, sailing down the ocean. Yeah, you might get into a couple fights here and there, but once you're done blowing people up, and, you know what I'm saying, and screwing up their bloodline, you just enjoy the open seas, man.
The story of Black Flag, the story of Black Flag works with that really well, right? Because like it's a story that is told over the course, I want to say 3 years. It's told over the course of like 3 or 4 years. And like like at the end of a mission, you'll be talking to Thatch and be like, yeah, all right, I'll meet you in Kingston in a month.
Yeah.
So, all right, yeah, cool. I'm just gonna go fuck up the Spanish.
Nah, true. It's very true, yeah. Yeah, I mean, all of the exploration is so great in that game. Yeah, I'm curious to see like what else they're gonna change, if, you know, or I guess fix or improve, optimize, who knows. But yeah, I'm excited for it.
I'm very excited. So like, yeah, apparently they're removing the modern day plot line and they are replacing it with like additional content and missions and stuff, is what I have heard.
That's cool. That'll be really cool.
That'll be fun. You've had all the original actors coming back. You've had the voice of Edward Kenway like getting dressed up and shit and going to visit people. Like they've clearly been having a lot of fun with it, which is also really nice to see.
That's good. Queen, did you ever play Black Flag?
No.
What the fuck?
You gotta realize that for majority of my life, I was not a gamer. I became a gamer in high school, primarily through competition. and then I went back and played a lot of classics.
Yep, the same with me.
Black Flag came out after you were in high school, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah, but like I was still catching up on Black Flag was also on Xbox, wasn't it? Wasn't it Xbox?
It was on Xbox. No, I don't think it was exclusive.
I don't remember it being exclusive.
Because Assassin's Creed in general tends to be cross-platform.
Yeah,
I remember the multiplayer. Oh, they bring back the multiplayer. Oh, if they bring back the multiplayer. Oh shit!
I only played Assassin's Creed 2. The PvP.
Played Assassin's Creed 2.
Yo, Drew, you want to play some? You want to play some Wanted? You want to play some Wanted if they bring it back?
Oh gosh!
I should say the only console that I've ever owned, right, are a PS1, a PS2, an NES, an N64, a bunch of handhelds. And a PC, and now like the Switch and the Switch 2. I've had a PS4 and a PS5 in my household that is not mine.
So you basically miss out on the best generation of consoles, which is where I think Black Flag was released.
Yeah, right? It's the 360 PS3 era. Yeah, I miss out on that era specifically.
Okay, that makes sense. And that does make a lot of sense because when you were in high school, or at least around the time that you were getting out of high school is when the 360 was popping. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Well,
you know, still, I mean, I'm sure you'll enjoy the game if you like a good story. And if you, and especially if you like, you know, some good exploration, right?
I did want to, I mean, State of Decay 3, Subnautica 2. I thought Subnautica 2 already came out. I thought the current version of Subnautica was already the second one. Apparently. I remember when Subnautica came out. Maybe it was the beta, or was there like an early access version that was like completely different than what it is now?
So you're thinking of Below Zero? Which is a different game, but it is a sequel to Subnautica, but it's not Subnautica 2.
I see.
Yeah. So okay. There is a second Subnautica game, but that Subnautica game is not Subnautica 2. It is Below Zero, which would make it Subnautica -1, I think.
If it is Below Zero.
Yeah.
It's all about
Subnautica -1.
Okay.
Yeah. I've also heard it wasn't very good.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. People did say that there were issues with the first Subnautica, which apparently are being addressed in the second one. You know, I haven't played it. I was waiting for J-Dog, hopefully, to be back, because this is a game that I know he played a lot. So State of Decay 3 and Subnautica 2, or just Subnautica, are games that J-Dog, I know, is a big fan of. He and I played State of Decay 1 and 2 together for tons of hours.
I love State of Decay.
So... With State of Decay, they're also fixing a lot of the things that players were frustrated with from the first two games. Like, for example, two players doing a co-op you know, on a co-op server don't need to be in the same vicinity in order to continue playing. Like, I can be on this side of the map, you can be on that side. Like, we could be doing two completely different missions.
I've got my own little you know, gang roaming around.
Yeah, man. Like, that's what I was really excited about in State of Decay. That's what I really wanted to see. Because they do really well with the NPCs and, you know, building your base and finding ways to keep everyone's happiness, you know, from plummeting, so they, you know, so people don't start fighting with each other. They do a great job. Only thing that they're missing is just perfecting the co-op aspect. It's the one thing that I was just like, if you guys get this right, this game's gonna be, you know, phenomenal. So they're finally doing it. I signed up to be the playtest. I don't know if I'm gonna get it, but I hope I do.
I've also signed up. Yeah,
big State of Decay fan. That game is amazing, man. They just got to do it right.
I remember in State of Decay 2, my original character, like my OG number one guy, got infected, and I had to put him down, and it actually upset me. Like, it actually upset me. Yeah. Fuck. I think his name was Roy. Like, he was
fucking Roy.
He was a guy in a hoodie, right? He was my original guy, and like, I'm about halfway through the game, and he gets infected, and I couldn't get enough of those like heart piece thingies, and I was like, I had to put him down.
Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't play for like 3 days after that because I was actually upset.
No, dude, it's like that. Your character, the character that you spend the most time beefing up, dies, you're like, bro, what am I supposed to do now? I mean it's important to take other characters in your settlements and mm-hmm. make them train, and so that way they all their stats can kind of beef up while you're out. But yeah, dude, losing the big dog sucks.
Yeah.
It definitely sucks.
I had the same thing in Watch Dogs Legion, because I always played on permadeath mode in that game, and like, whenever I'd lose someone, because like, you're never going to get that character again. Like, I think stuff like that just fucking suck.
Yeah, man. No, I agree. I for sure stopped playing and started a new world when one of my bigger characters died in a previous State of Decay. I was like, I'm not doing this shit, bro. I'm like, every time I load up this particular server, it's going to be trauma. It's going to be trauma. I'm not doing it. Give me a new game.
That'll be fun. I will say Subnautica 1 is one of the few games that I've returned on Steam.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Because I bitched out. I it got dark. I heard a noise. I said, this game is for me. I'm underwater. Yeah. I'm underwater. I started having Mario 64 PTSD, and I was like, you know, I'm not.
Hey, Quang, a Leviathan is approaching.
Hey, for real. Hey, you know, I didn't know what Subnautica was until I looked it up. And now realizing that it's an underwater survival game, I'm like, I should be playing this. Like, this is the kind of game that I would have a blast playing, bro.
Every first time you come across the Reaper Leviathan, you will shit yourself. I'm sure I will.
The slight shake. Oh, my God.
Because it's always like, I could handle that. What was that noise?
Yeah. No, it's always like, oh, that thing's aggressive. I can run away. Like, especially early on when you're like really conservative with everything. Because that's how survival games work. You start off very conservative. You're always like, I need to be really careful with all my resources. And then you're like, okay, well, get a confident. The next thing, I need to be a little, I'll maneuver, right? Yeah, no, immediately you're like, oh, I can run away from everything. Run away from it. It's fine. And then this thing chases you, and you're like, the fuck?
Yep. It's like, bro, I've got my sea moth. I'll be fine.
Yeah. So I played like, what, 10 hours? No.
I was going to say, Steam's return policy is a 2 hour thing.
Yeah. I played for like an hour. Because it seemed cool. And then I noped so quick. I think it was an hour. I say 10 hours. It felt like a whole night, but it must have been like an hour or so, where I'm like reading everything, especially back then when I felt like I had more time in life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sat down, reading logs, scanning fish. It was cool. And you're like,
yep. I still do that. Yeah. I'm very grateful that I have not quite developed that much brain rot where I can still sit and read through an entire PDA. I used to do that when I first played Mass Effect. I would sit there for hours just reading the codex, be like, oh my god! Because, like, you know, so, like, people forget there is someone who wrote every book in Skyrim. Like, bro, there was a small group of people that just sat down and wrote every single one of those books. You know what? People, go out there, boot up Skyrim, find a book and just read it. You know, fucking appreciate those writers because they didn't have to.
Yeah. It's so true, man. I do like reading those in mostly apocalyptic games or like zombie games, you know, where, you know, in like The Last of Us, you'll go into a random room and see, you know, someone who's like dead and there's like a piece of paper in their hand and I want to read it because I want to know like how did this person die? What, you know, what happened? And come to find out they just like shot themselves in the head or something like that. And they're like, tell my wife I love her. Dash Tom, you know, it's like, oh yeah. Damn, Tom killed himself. Fuck, you know. Like, all right, you know, like that shit, you know, happens. I like it.
Hey, does anybody know a Tom? You know that really unique, rare name, Tom.
It's spelled T O M M. Real special.
No, Fallout 3 was really good for that. There are a couple harrowing audio logs in that game.
Yeah, yeah. The audio logs, man. Gotta appreciate those.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Well, we're talking about a lot of open world games, Drew, so I wonder what this could be leading to.
Can I actually rant about something before we
move on?
I need to get something off my chest. Because I think the term open world doesn't mean shit anymore. Because I think when people... Oh, shit, he's back.
Everybody act normal.
Quick, hide the DS under the pillow.
I feel like when people say open world, they mean... Generally, what open world means is that you can play the game in a non-linear fashion. Right? Is what I usually think of, is what I think most people think of, I hope.
Okay.
But I feel like some people take open world and they mean sandbox.
I was going to say, yeah, like I would call Sea of Thieves a sandbox game. I wouldn't call it an open world game.
Some people would call Baldur's Gate not a open world game for some reason. I feel like Baldur's Gate 3 is a very good example of the world being open to you from the moment you load in, basically. You can go wherever. It will be difficult, but you can go wherever the fuck. There isn't actually anything stopping you from visiting the whole world.
That's fair.
Chapters.
I was gonna say that there are chapter blocks.
Except for the chapters. There's nothing stopping you except for the game mechanics.
Well, like, I think there is nothing stopping you. It's just the consequence of it is you will die. Like, you can, if you want, go straight to the mountain pass, right? But if you're level 2 going into the mountain pass, you're going to fucking die.
Yeah. Like, no, exactly. Yeah, no, which is fine. But that's still an open world, right? That's like...
I think that's still kind of like a draw-in-the-line definition. Like, So when I think about open world, it's open world, seamless gameplay, minimal, if any, loading screens at all, because the world is literally generated to 100% in the game, and it's like never going to be regenerated. There's nothing else that's going to show up.
Counterpoint. Skyrim has a lot of loading screens.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so for that instance, I mean, that's, so, the map...
I mean, we're talking about, like, a touchstone, yeah.
The map is open world, but the way they save on resources is by instancing all their general locations. So, like, the map itself is open world, but the game you can't really consider open world because they have those instance moments. Like, I can't walk into the Castle of Lightrun with the fucking gates opening and it's like, hey, I'm walking inside. No, I hit a fucking loading screen. That to me isn't full open world, if that makes sense.
Can you do that in GTA 5?
Yeah, I mean, traditional sense
that are locked.
Yeah, so you have to think in a traditional sense, right? I mean, so in GTA Vice City, that was technically an open world game. However, like you said, there in the very beginning of the game, there's a bridge that blocks off another section of the game that opens up as you progress through it later, like where Tommy Vercetti gets access to the fucking Scarface mansion. But it's still an open world game though, for the reason of linear versus nonlinear.
Yeah, that's just a narrative thing. Like, because the argument I'd have with Baldur's Gate 3 is you can go back to those points whenever you want. There won't be a lot to do there, but you could, like, you're in the middle of chapter 3, the act 3, you can go back to the wilderness and, like, go trade with the grove, you know, if you haven't skipped it.
You can murder some low-level minions because you forgot to commit genocide in that one area.
Let's remember this though. We're talking about games that remain in the 2020s. What about when open world, like what about when we first started to experience non-linear video games where it had side missions where you weren't forced to go along this path? If you wanted, you could just roam around, see people, or you could do a side mission, or you could just, you know, like this started 20 years ago, right? So 20 years ago, what was the term then? Like, was it not open world at that time?
I think a good kind of like chop in the middle example is like defining the quote unquote open world difference between Skyrim and like Far Cry 3. Far Cry 3, you could go wherever the fuck you wanted. There were no instance locations. You go to a fucking POI, you kill some people, you move to the next POI. Things like Skyrim, you go to a POI, it's a loading screen to another instance, quote unquote, level, and then you quote unquote instance out of that into the quote unquote open world. So I think that's where the line is kind of drawn.
So where I draw it, see, I think my main difference between like open world and non-open world games, I think like God of War, or any of the God of Wars games, or like really good, you can travel most of the world whenever as you unlock things.
Sure.
But generally when you're progressing the story, you are forced onto a path. Mm-hmm. You are forced to move forward you go that way because that's where the story is. And the game is telling you that's where the story is. Last of Us is also that. You know where the story is, and you're going to wander that way. You might veer right because there's going to be ammo, but...
Well, I think that's kind of like the difference, because there's always going to be that linearity, right? Especially, like, when you come from a main quest line. Like, there's always going to be a linear part to the storyline.
But you're not progressively unlocking stuff. It is...
My argument, though, with something like Far Cry 3, the reason Skyrim has the loading screens is because it's an RPG with dungeons. Far Cry doesn't really have dungeons. It's not because it's not an RPG.
Breath of the Wild would be considered. Breath of the Wild is open world, and all the loading screens are literally you entering dungeons.
Mm.
Right, like
I kind of feel like we're overcomplicating this, though.
This is the problem. Is that I'm saying that people. This is my gripe. Is that people fucking? I think. Sorry.
I think for the sake of this conversation, we.
You brought this up. You brought this up, Mike.
He was about to pop, bro. He was like, "Let me get this out real quick."
but really, my gripe is not that. My gripe is the other way, where I think people take like sandbox games and they're like, "Oh, this is open world." When I don't treat those the same, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Minecraft is not an open world game. Right?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I feel like that's a like completely different genre.
Sure, that's fine.
That's really where I'm landing.
Essentially, it's a game where you don't have to follow the objective until you're ready to follow the objective.
Yeah.
You can roam. Yeah. A game where you can roam and just kind of explore, right? Like, that's... Yeah. You know, enjoy the world on a simple term, right?
Just the difference between an open world and a sandbox is an open world has a story that you find within the world. A sandbox is a world where you make the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
like Sea of Thieves, you make like there's missions and stuff, but like in Sea of Thieves in general, the day-to-day gameplay, you are creating the story in the world. In Skyrim, the world is part of the story that you are experiencing.
Sure.
I was gonna say also tech issues, you know, we're talking about instant loads are so much faster nowadays. A lot of assets are preloaded nowadays. Loading screens are gonna just inherently be less.
Well, I think people are starting to, developers are starting to adapt, especially like when Last of Us started doing it, is like put it in the cutscene or put it in the loading screen. Like make the loading screen the transition, right? So you don't even realize you're in a fucking loading screen, right? But I think that was a good idea. But then on the other hand, when we're really getting into things, like, I don't know. Are we going too far with quote-unquote open-world games nowadays?
I don't think so. I'm going to explicitly say no.
I think Fable's going to answer that question for us.
I haven't seen
I think it's going to answer that question for us.
What the world's going to look like for Fable yet.
The way it's looking right now, I think Fable's going to answer that question for us.
The best way to figure out if an open world is too big or not depends, for me, entirely on the way you traverse it. Right? Because look at a game like Spider-Man, where the traversal is really fucking fun. Look at a game like Black Flag, where the traversal is a little slower, but there's always something to do along the way. There's an little island you can stop off at to get a collectible. There's a fight going on. There's a fort. Whereas you look at something that is like a huge thing. Maybe I didn't play a lot of it, but what was that game that came out? Crimson Desert? Is that the game that came out recently?
Yeah.
Like, that is a massive open world, and like that is got a lot of stuff to do in it, but a lot of the time you are just kind of walking around. I think Kingdom Come Deliverance is another one where it's a very big world, but you're just kind of walking around and riding a horse. I'd argue Red Dead Redemption is like on that cusp of it might be a little bit too big because you're kind of just roaming around waiting for stuff to happen. So I think the way you traverse the world and the way you interact with the world as you're traveling kind of makes it feel bigger or smaller than it actually is.
Sure.
I will say, I don't think there is an upper limit to how big a world can be outside of system requirements. I think you could have a game as big as like No Man's Sky and actually have it be like a true open world game, as long as there is some sort of quick travel feature available to complete objectives. Because there's nothing worse than when you do all the shit and then you have to just be like, it's going to take me 5 minutes to walk back to town because I didn't click the checkpoint.
Yeah, I agree.
And as that time limit, because it just feels like I did all the stuff, like traveling to, like if you're spending 5 minutes to travel to this remote destination that you've kind of recognized through your hours of gameplay, you're like, oh shit, that is an important thing. I thought that was weird. I'm gonna head over that way, and you spend 10 minutes looking for it again. Doesn't feel bad, but the moment you're done and you're like, I guess I have to walk to town. And just try to avoid every enemy so I don't, like, I'll fight the first two and then be like, nah, this is a waste of time. I'm just gonna weave through everybody.
This is my personal gripe, though, is I feel like we lean too much on fast travel as a crutch, right? Because at that point, if I'm fast traveling between everywhere, is it a big world or is it a bunch of smaller levels with fuck all in between it?
No. I'm saying keep the stuff in between. I'm just saying that there needs to be some sort of fast travel.
No, but I'm saying that, like,
you got, like, both.
There is no limit other than system requirements to how big a world can be. My question is how big a world should be. Because I think if you're making a world that is massive, it's like, oh, it's all right, we'll just fast travel. It's like, well, what's the point in designing the world then if most people aren't going to see it?
See, that's the game developer's job, to make the world interesting enough for you to want to explore it and only use fast travel to actually complete objectives.
Yeah. But you can have the most interesting world, like, ever, but if it's too big, there's going to be empty space in it, or there's going to be too much to do.
You can have the most compelling story ever, and J-Dog's still skipping every cutscene. Okay? Like,
Where does this come from? You're the cutscene skipper, brother. Not me.
Jay Dog is a fucking skipper. He's definitely a skipper.
I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know where that's coming from.
You literally said it.
What did I say? I said I'm not a cutscene skipper.
When we were talking about voice actors the other month,
yeah,
like,
bro.
I specifically said when I've seen the cutscene 3 million fucking times, I'm gonna skip it because I do not need to see it again. That's specifically what I said. Thank you. Good night.
Roll the clip,
editor.
I don't know. He probably did say that, but.
Yeah, he probably said it. They're either gonna post it to validate you or they're gonna post it to validate J-Dog. But I will stand by my argument that there are worlds that could be too big, because, like, I think the sweet spot for me, and I haven't got this down to a size, but I think the ideal world for a size is you go from corner to corner in 15 minutes with the fastest possible mode of transportation.
See, my argument against that would be, like, MMORPGs just in general. Like Final Fantasy 14, World of Warcraft.
I feel like that's a different kettle of fish, though, because, like, those are games that did, like, I'm mostly talking about a single player experience, because an MMORPG is literally designed to never end because you are the product. Like, that's why those worlds are so fucking big, is I want to have you playing for 10 hours a week. I think when it comes to a single player narrative experience, there is a certain level where a world needs to stop getting as big as it is, because at that point there's, like, I think you're doing it for the sake of doing it.
Okay. There are experiences in some games that make it feel like you almost like you want to explore it, which is why fast traveling may not be as enticing, especially early on in the game, right? Like Quang said, if you make the world interesting, you know, you're not as interested in fast traveling. I've been playing more open world games as of late. You know, I've been playing Horizon Zero Dawn and Legacy of Spider-Man. There have been tons of Spider-Man where my objective is on the other side of the map. It's like 3,000 meters. And you know what I'm doing? I'm not fast traveling, dog. I'm swinging my black ass across because it's so fun to do it. And along the way, you also might get some side missions and whatnot. They have different ways for you to move faster. Spider-Man 2, they gave you like the web wings so you can like soar and glide. So they made exploration and moving across the map extremely fun. So I don't mind an extremely long journey from one side of the map to the other. Red Dead Redemption 2, I didn't mind riding my horse, you know, from this location to the next, because along the way there's going to be some random side missions. You know, if you don't do that exploration, you may not come across the random scene with like the KKK rally, you know, like the people have, you know, made jokes about online. Some of you might miss out on some things if you're too busy fast traveling. So you know, depending on how interesting you make the world, that will usually determine, you know, if you're going to be, you know, doing a ton of fast traveling or not.
Yeah, that's the thing that goes into, like, the world building, too. It's like if, say you're playing, like, a level-based game, too, and, you know, you progress through basically, like, the towns are your checkpoints, essentially. I'm not going to fucking go from, like, a level 7 area and turn in a quest to a level one town, I'm not going to walk all the way back and fucking kill low level fucking mobs. I'm going straight back to that fucking town. Like, why the fuck am I going to waste my time grinding XP I don't, like, I'm probably not going to get because of game mechanics.
Yeah. That makes it convenient for sure. The, the channeling in No Rest for the Wicked, for example.
I feel like a lot of what you said, Juice, falls back on my other point, is it depends on how you traverse that world. Because, like, Spider-Man, for the example, the web swinging is great. Not every game can do web swinging, though, right? And that's, and that's kind of my concern with something like GTA 6. Is also, it's going to be a massive world. It's got three fucking cities in it, you know? But how fast are the vehicles going to be? Because, like, it's then, like, you know, is it going to be every, like, hour or so you have to spend 15 minutes driving down a highway?
You know what would be cool, actually, is if you could at any point in time call a helicopter and just skydive your way into whatever checkpoint you need to go to.
You can do that. It's called Just Cause 2. That's in Just Cause 2.
But, I mean, if there is enough to do, if the world's built the right way and movement feels fine, I will spend hours just exploring. I mean, that's literally what Genshin Impact is as a game. Breath of the Wild, it was the whole reason why people loved Breath of the Wild. It's because even if you could fast travel, and people really only used it to complete, like, side quests. So, like, just get back to the beginning of the side quest, and they're like, okay, time to go hop and run around everywhere again, just find a seed. Find a seed in the middle of the, find the random circle of rocks that I need to complete.
Well, that was dope. So, okay, so to segue from what you just said, and this game might be that example, but is there an open world game that has changed our expectations as to what an open world game or as to how an open world game should behave?
Most recently, definitely Spider-Man 2. Most recently, it's like that or Breath of the Wild. I think Breath of the Wild was the first, like, open world game where I'm just like, I'm gonna just see if I can climb that rock. I'm gonna see what's on top of this mountain. I'm gonna waste 3 hours on this, but I'm gonna climb this mountain and it's gonna be great.
Yeah, and it could be nothing, or it could be another adventure that the game didn't tell you about. You'll kind of just find out when you get there.
Yeah, or you die, like, trying. Like,
or you die. Yeah. There's a massive bear that eats you alive. Like, oh, shit, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that in Red Dead Redemption as well. You know, there are places on the map where you're like, oh, this looks like this could be something. You have no idea, and you just will go and find out.
Because that's the fun part of open world games, right? It's just, like, exploring and finding things.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, Just Cause 4 is the pinnacle of open world. Because the variety in the map and the way you traverse it, like, that wingsuit is so good. That wingsuit in Just Cause 4 feels so good to use. And then you pair that with the grappling hook, you pair that with the parachute, and you can combo it, and then you basically have infinite momentum. It's great. It's fucking great. Yeah.
I like that. I might have to play that game too. J-Dog, what about you, man?
I unfortunately haven't, like, really played an open world game in the past couple years. Like, something I would consider, like, fully immersive open world, but, like, thinking on it the past couple hours, and it's like Assassin's Creed kinda already, like, hit the mark. Like, the first couple ones. Like, sure, I mean, the game was 99.9% open world, with the other 1% was actual, like, the cutscenes of the story. So it's like, they kind of hit it. Like, obviously I'd say Spider-Man if I played it before, but I think, you know, between the original Assassin's Creed and, like, Far Cry 3, for example, is, like, they those are open world games to me. Seamless, like either seamless or like zero transitions whatsoever. Like you just run around and not feel like you're actually in a video game because you don't have to wait for a fucking loading screen.
Yeah. Yeah, I personally really love the, I guess the aspect of your decisions change the way the environment behaves, you know? So my first time playing Fallout 4, you know, I went into the first town that I came across and shot a soldier. And then everyone in the town all of a sudden was strapped and just dumping on me. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I didn't realize. Never, you know, up until that time, I'd never played a game where one decision could make you go from, oh, yeah, no, everyone likes you, you think you're a cool person, to kill them, you know, out of nowhere. And so I think that open world game should, you know, as far as being immersive and making you feel like your decisions having weight, to me, is important in an open world game. So I love it when a game has that, you know, good versus bad guy kind of, you know, I guess meter.
Or the reputation meter, yeah.
Yeah, the reputation. I love a reputation because I can decide, you know, do I want these people to hate me? Do I want them to love me? You know, I got to make a decision on my own.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Fable the first one?
Yeah,
probably.
That's what I was just about to say. Like, honestly, Fable was the one that, like, paved the actual way of, like, your decisions matter, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, sure, yeah. Sure was still a, like, it was like a linear progression of like, oh, you're evil, so everybody's going to treat you like an asshole kind of thing. But like, then they started expanding on it, and which is, you know, again, why a lot of people are excited about what they're cooking for the new Fable. It's like, they're just going to expand on that. And now with, you know, with fucking AI. Speaking of like things like GTA 6, like every individual is going to basically have a mind of their own. So it's like,
yeah,
one guy fucking hates you. The other, some other guy across the street was like, thank you for fucking stabbing that dude in the heart. He was an asshole. Like, what?
Yeah. 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 No, that's a great point. So are there any open world games that we feel like did not meet our expectations? And I assume that would probably be, recently speaking, games you play where you felt, man, like this game's gonna be awesome, and then you start to play and you're like, this is not what I was hoping for.
That's kind of something I wanted to touch on, is like a big reason I haven't been playing many like single player open world games recently is because I feel like they're like, let's put all of our mind into building the world, but like none of it into the actual story behind it. So it's, I was like, gonna say, here's this big ass open fucking world for you to explore. You can do whatever the fuck you want, but there's zero story. Have fun.
Like, my biggest gripe. My biggest gripe, and I feel like developers get really lazy on it too, where it's like, you have the big fucking world, but all the side quests are exactly the same fucking thing. On like, yes. You run into the exact same NPC 20 times, and you're just like, why am I even
new world? yeah.
You see, it's not even a different character model. It's like the same character with a different hat. Like, so you
wait, even walking new world? The fuck?
Yeah, that was one thing. I love New World, but man, how many times I've done a side mission where I have to kill the same person over and over again? That shit pissed me off.
I mean, that was,
I still love the game though.
That was kind of the point. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it was grindy as fuck.
Between the side missions and like the fucking board missions, it was literally just the same shit.
Like, yeah. I understand that there's only so many things that you can shove into like side quests. And I genuinely get that. Well, but like there has to be more variety than some of the shit that people do. Cause yeah, like,
it's always the same formula, right? It's like fucking, hey, go grab X amount of X and bring it to X. And then like the same person in the next town over, hey, go grab X amount of X and bring it to X.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
Why?
At least make it interesting.
At least like, make it interesting though.
Yeah, at least give the NPCs some character. It'd be like, hey, I need these herbs that are only found on this mountain to save my son. Would you be able to do that for me?
Yeah.
But then we gotta, pay a voice actor for it, and we gotta record.
No, you don't. I've already. I know I missed a week, but we cannot have forgotten. You don't need to voice act everything.
He wasn't there that week, remember?
Oh, that's, you know what, fair.
Yeah, but the thing is, you do need a voice act everything these days because no one wants to read anymore. Because why read when I could scroll on TikTok?
We can't do this conversation again. Not right now.
You also could just use AI, man. Just use AI to generate voices.
For okay, all right, all right, all right. Listen, No, I think a game that, and this is going to be unpopular online, but I didn't like Crimson Desert. I didn't like it. I didn't like that game because I feel like it had no real identity. I'm sorry.
I watched that game for like 30 minutes and I was just like, I didn't see much story in the first place, but the combat to me was just so fucking gimmicky.
The gameplay is fun.
Is
like
it?
The gameplay is fun because it is very sandboxy. In, do you want to pick up this log and fucking throw it at someone? Because you can. Do you want to RKO someone off a fucking cliff? Because you can. Like, the combat is really fun and the gameplay is really fun in that, like, there is so much that you can do. It's not built for controllers because the fucking things you gotta hit L3 and then hit L1 and then hover over this thing and then press a different button to get into the, like, it's menus within menus within menus. This is my big, I fucking hate weapon wheels. Fucking hate them. I do not like weapon wheels, right? And Crimson Desert has a lot of wheels. But the world itself was just like, oh, it's broadly Norse, but also a little bit of German, but also a little bit of Japan. Like, there was just a lot of stuff in there. It's like, it felt like the game didn't really have much of an identity, which is fine. If you want to hop into a world and just beat up a load of people in like a chaotic sandbox RPG, then absolutely. And a lot of people enjoy it because it's got a 4.3. It's got a 4.3 out of 5 and a 9 out of 10 on Steam. Like, it's clearly a very good game, but it's probably, because I don't like playing bad games these days, but it is the first game I played in a while that is like, oh, I thought I was going to like this, and I'm sad.
Yeah, that's fair. The open world games, I mean, there's so much that you can do, and you kind of hope that these developers are, sometimes I wonder if developers are gamers, because they'll make such decisions where I'm like, whose idea was this and why is that guy still employed? So you kind of hope that, you know, it's a game by game thing, right? Some games are gonna be great, some not so much. That leads me to a new question. What is something that, I mean, and maybe there is no answer to this question because there are a ton of open world games that do a lot, right? So what is something in general that's missing from open world games? Or is there anything that's missing? Do we feel like open world games pretty much have done it all? We just need them to kind of continue to expand, or
do we need to see more? I think it's figuring out the identity of what an open world game is in terms of like the whole, again, Skyrim debate I was on of like instance areas versus non-instance areas. Like, if it's completely open world, I should be able to seamlessly walk inside of a fucking cave, right? And the side quest variation. Like, if you're going to have side quests, don't make us do the same fucking shit 50 million fucking times, please. Like, the side quest is supposed to be a break from the main quest, not another fucking tedious task to just fucking, like, waste our time on. Just because I need the XP to kind of like level up for the next boss fight or some shit. Like, come on, don't make it a fucking chore, dude. Please don't.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, yeah. Apex says that the NPC interactions have to continuously improve, which I agree. I mean, Red Dead Redemption 2 gave you that, you know, plus more. I mean, I still talk about the NPC interactions in that game and how I'm just like absolutely mind blown by it. Seeing that variation, I think that's something that's definitely missing from open world games. For sure, need more of that. What else?
The thing I fear with the NPC interactions in Red Dead Redemption 2 compared to GTA 6 is in Red Dead 2, you have like maybe 20 people in a town that you're interacting with, and like, you know, you can go around. Like in GTA, you're going to be in a bustling city. There's going to be hundreds, right? Yeah. That's going to be that's a lot of different interactions and personalities and voices that you've got to go over for that kind of thing. Is my only concern. In terms of, like, I don't think we've lost it, but I fear that one day we might, because games are still, you know, I hope we don't lose the character that is the biome of a different part of the world, right? Because I think Skyrim is a really good example of, like, you take a screenshot of, like, just an area in Skyrim, you could probably identify roughly where in the world that is. Because all the different biomes and regions are so distinct and have character. Like, if there's a load of Nordic ruins and you're covered in snow, you're probably over by Windhelm. If you're deep within the mountain peaks, you're probably near Markarth. If you're surrounded by autumnal trees, you're in Riften, you know? I hope we keep that, and so that the worlds are still fun to explore, but they also don't look the same. Because with a lot of open worlds these days, it's green forest. A beach with a cliff, you know, a bit of a desert. Like, I hope we keep the identity and personality of different interesting biomes to explore, not just the size of the world, but the variation of it.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Quinn, what you got? You got anything?
Mixtape is 10% off on Steam right now. You should
download it. Oh no, I'm really excited for Mixtape. I'm really excited for it. It looks so good. Look at that art style, dude.
All right. Well, I have one last question. This is a personal question. You know, I had two questions. But you know, the first one we already answered, which is basically around us, our preference for on, you know, roaming freely versus potentially learning the hard way, you know, running into that level 50 dungeon when you're still level 2. So we've kind of already covered that. So we can move on. But is the new Fable going to out open world GTA 6?
I cannot accurately provide an opinion on that.
In size, no. In personality, yes.
That's a good answer.
I think GTA will undoubtedly be bigger, but knowing the Fable world the way I do, like, it's Fable will be more of a fun world, I think, to be in. I think GTA will be beautiful, and I think Florida is a wonderful state to base a game off, especially one of that size, but... Fable, and J-Dog can attest, Fable's world has so much personality.
Yeah.
It has so much personality. Like, you've got the twisting, and also it's a fantasy world, so I think you can be, there is a bit more to explore with that, because they can do things that are a bit more out there and are a bit more special and, you know, not grounded in reality. So I think it depends on your definition, but yeah, GTA 6 will be bigger, but Fable will be a more fun world. I'm not saying it'll be a more fun game before anyone in chat gives me shit. I'm saying the world of Fable will be a more fun, jovial place to be. I can't wait to meet some demon doors.
Oh my god. Are they bringing back the demon doors?
I hope so. I really hope so. I want a door that'll only open if everyone fucking hates me.
Bro, those are some of the pinnacle moments. Why can't I open this door? Well, you're good.
You're not fat enough. That's
right. You're not fat enough.
I will say that what a great read on the gaming community that most of us would never go full asshole, you know? Unless you entice them with a door.
Yeah. I mean, there's always that one character, like, I'm going to do an evil playthrough apart from when I interact with that one person because I don't have the heart to be mean to you.
Yeah. There's always one. Yeah. You always do one good thing.
Dude, that's always me, bro. I'm always like, let's go through an evil fucking playthrough. Let's fucking just beat the shit out of everybody. And then you're just like,
But it's a kitten. kick the squirrel, J-Dog. Kick the squirrel. See, for me, it was Thane in Mass Effect. Like, I could never... He's just so, like... He's just trying his best.
Oh, fuck. The question is, GTA 6 is never coming. Apparently, November... Apparently
November.
Maybe GTA 6 is the way we create a perpetual motion machine. It's just like,
yeah. So keep an eye out for May 21st. If that's supposed to be the day, right? It's the Take-Two Interactive.
Quarterly
earnings call. I'm pretty sure they said it's May 21st. So hopefully we'll see something around that time as confirmation that the game is still on track for November. It says Fable is supposed to be fall of this year. Supposed to be.
Wait, is there fall, really?
So.
We're eating good. Like, I've got the Black Flag remake coming out. I've got Fable. Oh, I'm eating good this year. Om nom nom, man. More.
we're gonna see if it's real or not. Until then, I'm just gonna keep playing single player games and hope that I don't lose myself, you know, in the process.
Save me from the FGC. We'll see.
Speaking after, of FGC,
after Evo. Yeah.
Speaking of FGC. There's a new fighting game out, and I can't believe we haven't fucking spoken about it with Quang here.
What?
I fucking the new Invincible fighting game.
Speaking of Invincible!
Yeah.
Whatever.
Who watches Invincible, by the way? Anybody watch Invincible?
I don't.
If you don't, you should.
Invincible, great show.
Comics, I don't have a choice but to release GTA 6. True. But yeah, since we're mentioning it, everybody good? I mean, is this episode 72? Are we satisfied with our decisions?
Lost my check. Oh, never. Boost. Never. Just how just saying how
dare you?
Like, how no, he, like, you know.
Nobody necessarily ripped out anybody's throats, as far as I know. I wasn't here for like 25 minutes.
We were actually, as soon as you left, we were immediately wholesome. It was
crazy. Okay. All right, dog. That's nuts.
Let's hold hands.
Catch you later, gang.
But for real though, FGC Invincible tournament going on Crack Media official right now. They're in the second qualifiers of a 10K prize pool tournament, and we're going to be heading over there, show the boys some love. They've been, Tenax has been working their ass off on this one, and it's been going great. So second OQ, and then finals we got next Saturday. So keep on the Discord, check that out, and we're going to go right over to them. So. Thanks, guys. Episode 72.
Peace. Deuces.
What do Juice Wayne and Batman have in common? Join the Cracked Media Discord to find out. The answer may not be there, but there are a lot of other cool stuff. I promise.